presidents of the United States rarely inspire song. Limericks, maybe, every now and then. Certainly jokes, but few songs. After all, what rhymes with Eisenhower? Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, JFK, LBJ, Reagan, they leave footprints in history, but no songs of note. Of course, there's Hail to the Chief for the POTUS with the mostest, but that's a generic theme. In the last century, one president, though, in particular, played muse to scores of amateur songsmiths, not to mention a fair gathering of professionals. Wonder if this sounds familiar.
It's a big holiday everywhere, for the Jones family has a brand new heir. He's a joy heaven sent, and we proudly present Mr. Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones.
Judy Garland, of course, singing Harold Rome's song, FDR Jones. Franklin Delano Roosevelt holds the distinction of being the most sung about U.S. president, from Tin Pan Alley to gospel to folk to Nazi propaganda on a 2-4 beat. Patrick Maney is a Roosevelt biographer. His article on FDR songs is in the spring edition of the Journal of American Culture, and he's here in our studios. Professor Maney, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you.
Why do you think Franklin Delano Roosevelt was such a muse?
People responded to Roosevelt as they had no previous president or no president since. And people were inspired to write music about him. Professional musicians were, but ordinary people wrote in unprecedented numbers about Roosevelt. And they wrote, not most of them, not with the hopes that this music would be recorded and become popular. They wrote it solely for Roosevelt himself, to express their admiration and love for Roosevelt.
How extensive was this?
While I was researching a biography of Roosevelt at the Roosevelt Library at Hyde Park, I came across, in Franklin Roosevelt's papers alone, 53 boxes of songs and accompanying letters. And there are another 83 boxes in Eleanor Roosevelt's collection. I calculated that there are in all some 14,000 songs written about the Roosevelts by ordinary people that were sent to the Roosevelts.
Tell me about Scotty the Drifter.
All we know about Scotty the Drifter is that he wrote and then had recorded on rather primitive recording machinery a record for Roosevelt, in honor of Roosevelt, and he sent it to the White House for Roosevelt to listen to.
Franklin D. Roosevelt's his name. In this country he's won fame. He's shaken the hands of the poor and called them friends. And the mothers, they all know, now their boys won't have to go to shed their blood in some foreign distant land.
Well, that last stanza could have stood some revision, obviously, after 1941. This must have been written in the 30s.
It was written, actually, in 1940, and it was written shortly after Franklin Roosevelt, during the presidential campaign, when Roosevelt had promised the fathers and mothers of America that their sons would not be sent to fight in any foreign wars.
But of course, the political genius of Roosevelt is, by the time he committed the United States to war, even the author of this song might have seen the logic of
that. Well, and even Scotty the Drifter indicated in that song, if Roosevelt ever issued the call, that he and America would respond.
I gather that although most of these songs are written as a kind of tribute and only a tribute, that some people, I don't mean the professionals, but some regular citizens had a financial motive.
Some people hope that a song about a popular president might be their ticket out of the Depression. And so they would write the songs and then send them to Roosevelt and ask for his help in getting them recorded or published. And then often they would promise to split the profits with him or contribute part of the profits to his favorite charity, the March of Dimes.
Was there ever any indication that Franklin Roosevelt became their angel and tried to get a song published?
I don't think he did. The stock response from the White House was that there were so many such requests that Roosevelt really couldn't respond to each one. But I guess what's remarkable is that people had this feeling that Roosevelt was a part of their personal lives, and they would write these songs for him, send them to him in the belief that he would read their letters, see their songs, and then actually take some action to get them recorded, and that would make millions, and they would be saved.
Mm-hmm. Was there a case of an amateur-created song ever bursting through and becoming a hit?
Not that I know of. There were some songs written by people who later became prominent. One was a song by a later famous country music performer, Lonnie Glosson, who was known later for his harmonica playing. But he recorded in the 30s a song and just sent it to Roosevelt to express his admiration for the president.
4 years our country failed us, we lost our many homes. The prisons soon were full of boys who started out to roam. Mothers sold their babies to get a bite to eat. Then who came to the rescue but good old Franklin D.
And Lonnie Glosson became a known performer after this.
And he did, and I think he later was entered into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
We began this discussion with Judy Garland's recording of F.D.R. Jones.
I hear tell there's a stranger in the Jones household.
Yes-a-ray, yes-a-ray.
That's what I am told. I hear tell there's a new arrival 6 days old.
Yes-a-ray, yes-a-ray.
What was this song about?
It was originally written by Harold Rome, who was a Yale-trained architect who became a songwriter. And he wrote the song Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones, or FDR Jones, as it appeared on labels to save space. He had read about African-American families who were naming their children after Roosevelt. And actually, Ella Fitzgerald, then shortly after, recorded it. Judy Garland recorded it. The Glenn Miller Orchestra recorded it. The Mills Brothers and Cab Calloway had versions. And I think there were in all about 16 or 18 recorded versions of that song.
I've been given to understand there's also a Nazi propaganda version?
Between 1939 and the end of the war, Germany was, via shortwave, sending entertainment programs to the United States. And there is a Nazi version by so-called Charlie and His Orchestra of FDR Jones.
Non-intervention, how he shows it, his decision to send troops along. Oh, what a game, and I'll bet he knows it, but he thinks that he can't go wrong. But the folks in the world all agree, he's aggressive, aggressive as he can be. If he could, he'd like to be known to those in history as the big emperor, D. Roosevelt Jones.
Yes, sir.
These were called entertainment shows, huh?
They were indeed.
I can see why perhaps it didn't catch on at the time. As his biographer, these perhaps hundreds, thousands of songs came into the White House. Do you have any indication that President Roosevelt listened to any of them?
I don't think so. I think his staff would actually occasionally sort of sample constituent letters, and so he would see some, but it's unlikely that he saw or heard the songs, and even the correspondence of people on his staff indicates that they really didn't take them that seriously. In fact, I think many of his staffers considered all these songs coming in kind of an annoyance because they had to respond to them. Yeah. They had to find a place for them in the White House, and for decades, these boxes of songs just sat at the Roosevelt Library unexamined. If you want to know how people felt about Roosevelt, I mean, better than any kind of electoral data or polling data, I mean, you go to these songs and you really get a sense of the people.
The idea of Franklin Roosevelt as a character, as an inspiration for songs, outlived his life, in fact.
After his death, numerous songs were recorded. Woody Guthrie mm-hmm. wrote a song called Dear Mrs. Roosevelt, Mourning Franklin's Loss. And later, Bob Dylan, in the late 60s, recorded that song.
Well, let's listen to the Bob Dylan version.
I voted for him lots of times, and I'd vote for him again. Tried to find an honest job for every idle man. This world was lucky to see him born.
I want to ask about a song, a gospel song that was written about FDR, Otis Jackson and the National Clouds of Joy.
Of all the songs, commercially recorded songs written about Roosevelt, I think this is the best. And it tells the history of the Roosevelt administration mm-hmm. from an African-American perspective.
Tell me why you like Roosevelt. Tell me why you like Roosevelt. Tell me why you like Roosevelt. Only two presidents that I've felt, Abraham Lincoln and Roosevelt. Way back yon in those olden days, it was Abraham Lincoln freeing the slave. The Roosevelt's administration, Congress assembled, the first time in history appointed a Negro general, General Benjamin O. Davis. I'm trying to relate, first Negro general of the United States.
Professor Maney, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Patrick Maney heads the history department at the University of South Carolina and is author of the book, The Roosevelt Presence, The Life and Legacy of FDR.
This qualified man was Hugh Mosaic. Racial prejudice tried to rule out, inviting Negro leaders into the White House. Advocated the fair practice of labor to let the poor man know he was our emancipator, made Madam Bethune first lady of the land and made a part of his will of Mr. Pretty Man. Endorsed inventions of Dr. Carver, this is why that I say he was an earthly father, cause he took my feet out of the miry clay. Haven't had to look back at the WPA, that's why I like Roosevelt.
No,
that's why I like Roosevelt.
No,
that's why you like Roosevelt.
No,
I told you the history of Roosevelt life.